The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What's up, fellow addicts? This is Shannon, the producer of the SDR Show. Really fun episode today. Joining Ralph Sutton and James Mattern, we have the lead singer of the band Dream Theater, James LaBrie. He tells a lot of really fun stories. He talks about recording during the lockdown. He's a Canadian, so he had a lot of trouble working with his band during that time. And so much more, including a case of food poisoning that he had, that where the doctor told him that he wouldn't be able to possibly sing anymore, and he overcame it. So it's a really cool episode. Remember that we do the show live every single Wednesday and Saturday at gasdigitalnetwork.com at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com/live, you can watch it live for free. But the best way to support the show is to go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use promo code SDR. That will give you a 1 week free trial to every single episode of the SDR Show, as well as every episode of every show on the Gas Digital Network. Prices are going up for subscriptions in September. And if you subscribe right now, you get locked in to that price forever. Your price will never go up. So if you've been thinking about doing it for a while, now is the time to join. Okay, here it is, the James LaBrie of Dream Theater episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again is James Mattern. Thank you so much, buddy.
Buddy, this is a goddamn honor. Very excited about this.
I do feel, before we bring our guest on, that I have a little bit of, I don't want to say sway or influence in your life, in that the last time you were on, I mentioned that the, let's go back a couple of months ago. I mentioned that your bed wasn't being made nicely.
So that was 2 years ago.
But okay. You started making your bed every day. And then I complained that I could see too much light through your drapes. And now you fixed that. So I feel like a little bit I have some control over your life. That's all I'm going to say.
Control my life. Also, anyone would have noticed that there was goddamn a big gap in the drapes and would have fixed it. But no, you get the credit. You are the dad of the podcast.
And I'll tell you, I am the oldest. So let's bring this guy on. So now I think I may have interviewed him once years ago. My memory sucks, but I had a radio show, as all the listeners know, that was on about 70, 80 stations. I don't know. It was a rock radio show. And we had the band on a lot. And I can get confused sometimes how many of his bandmates had been on the show. Not that I do drugs. I just have a really bad memory. But a recent Grammy winner, finally, was it third time's a fucking charm for that band. And now fourth solo album, which is pretty cool as well. You could follow him at jameslabrie.dt. Here's what's weird. The band is Grammy winning. They're fucking crazy famous everywhere. Why he doesn't have the blue check on Instagram, I don't fucking know. It's fucking weird. That's all I will say. It is James LaBrie. James LaBrie, Dream Theater, and the new solo dude. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, Ralph. Hey, James. What do you mean there's no blue check?
There's no blue check. There is on Dream Theater.
Oh, I'm going to have to get on that right away today.
What the fuck is all I'm saying?
There should be a freaking blue check.
Because
you know there's actually people out there impersonating me, right?
I'm sure there are.
And they're setting up my fans. Like they're saying, you give me $200 and I'm going to go out and have lunch with you.
Is that real?
This shit's going on. This shit is going on. And so I have my good collaborator and partner in crime for Beautiful Shade of Gray, Paul Logue. And he's on it. And he's like, he keeps sending me this stuff. He goes, here's another guy I got. Here's another guy. I got. I'm like, what?
That's crazy.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. These guys are fucking scumbags.
Oh, you know what's funny? I thought you were going to say
money.
These guys are doo-doo heads. Like, easy, James. It is weird. We had a girl on the show. I can't remember who it was. It was a porn star. But some guy gave her like 50 grand virtually to marry her. And he thought he was really speaking to her. And he showed up at one of her gigs with the ring. He's like, all right, let's go. And she goes, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, who are you?
Yeah, who the fuck are you? And so it's just get the blue check, James. You're an important man.
Oh, my God. You check there later on today, Ralph. There's going to be a great, big, giant blue check.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Fair enough. All right.
Okay.
So before we get into the new record,
yes,
I did touch on this a little bit in the beginning. The last Dream Theater record, View from Top of the World. Am I right? Is it the third time you guys were nominated for a Grammy and the first time you won?
Yeah, you were right. Third time's a fucking charm, I believe, is what you said.
Yeah.
Right. And yes, we did win. You know, here's the thing, though. I mean, you know, being up against like Mastodon, Rob Zombie, Deftones, I mean, all those guys, and there were others, you know, all respectable bands. You know, even though it was our third time, we felt really good about it. You never know. But you know what? Here's the thing, though. It's great to see that the Grammy Academy is acknowledging music such as Dream Theater that is very obscure and eclectic, and it's unpredictable, and we push the envelope each and every time. And then to see those other bands, too, that have done things their own way. You know what? Yeah. It's really cool to see.
I forget what year it was, but that was that year. Was it Leonard Skinner won Best Metal Performance? And that was like the worst Grammy. Like, what the fuck is going on?
What's going on? Yeah.
Do you feel a little bit of, I don't know, like bravado that the song that you wrote the lyrics for on the record is the one that won the Grammy? Does that help you?
Well, yeah.
Bit?
I said to the bandmates, I said, I should have done that earlier.
I like that. I'm a fan of that.
You know what? Here's the thing. It's like, yeah, you know, I write lyrics for Dream Theater. So does John Petrucci. And so does John Mayong. And so did Mike Portnoy when he was in the band. You know, here's the thing. It's just like, you know, I've always loved John's lyrics. He's always loved my lyrics. So it just so happened. I said, I want to write the lyric for that tune. I feel it. I know where I want to go. And that was based off a podcast with Elon Musk and Joe Rogan. And that's where I came up with that lyric, because they were talking about terraforming Mars and all that other stuff. And that in a sense, we become the alien, right? We're out there creating life on another planet. We're out there looking and exploring the universe. So it's just the beginning for us and in the infancy stages. And I think it's still going to be 100 years before anybody's going to be stepping foot on Mars and playing soccer.
Well, I think that part too. But the thing that, you know, we had, on this show, we had Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, astrophysicist. And one of the things he said, it's not my idea, but it certainly makes so much sense. The whole idea of terraforming other planets. Mm-hmm. If we had that technology, we should do it here first. We have so much wasted areas of our world and things that are falling into shit shows. So I feel like people are putting the cart before the horse. If we can get the terraforming, let's fix Earth before we worry about Mars.
I completely agree. Why aren't we spending trillions of dollars in saline plants? You know, we're talking about right now out in Colorado and California. It's the worst drought in 1,200 years. Wait a minute. We have an ocean, right? It represents 97% of the world's water. Yeah, I do read a bit, guys, you know, and the thing is like I look at that and I go, this is what we could do to eliminate. And what about the big deserts? I know the deserts still serve a purpose, and you have, you have the environmental impact there as well. But why aren't we doing something with that vast amount of land and terraforming that?
Yeah, that's where it
probably
go
what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then that creates more food and places for people to live.
I've learned, by the way, this is totally going off the rails from rock and roll, but who cares?
It is it is rock and roll, though. That's where I get my inspiration.
They did. True. Ties in. Yeah. They just discovered I think it's like a worm or a microorganism that eats plastic and then shits out like carbon dioxide or something good for us. So we are looking towards cultivating
what
that bug.
What's going on here?
Anyway, let's move on.
I've never felt dumber in my life. Can I be honest? I'm reminded that I went to public school in Nevada.
To both of you guys. So I'm going to hold this up. I'm going to hold this up here because I was literally looking at this a few minutes ago. I just finished my last half marathon, right? There we are. Just ran a half marathon 2 days ago. And I'm right before this, I was looking for half marathons around the world. My goal next year is to do four in four different countries. I'm doing
so
one.
So what's
in
a half marathon? Is that 12 miles?
13.1. Yeah, 13.1.
Yeah, way to go, man.
Thank you.
Holy but shit. I'll do the first mile with you.
All right, yeah, please do. Okay. That would be awesome. A rock and roll half marathon.
All right. I'll do the last mile wearing a Cinderella shirt.
I'm serious. Like, Ralph, I used to have a subscription to Runner's World. And when I was in my 20s and 30s, I used to, and then even when I was in high school and that, I was on the cross country team and all that shit. And I used to do long distance running all the time. I loved it.
Let's do it. I hadn't started. By the way, I know you're a little older than me. I'm 52. I think you're 59. I could be wrong.
No, 39.
39. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. And I didn't start till I was 50. I started 2 years ago.
Wow.
You know, and the reason why I brought it up is that when I run, I listen to science podcasts. That's what I listen to when I run. So that's why I know some of this shit, because you're helping your mind and your body at the same time. Now, anyway,
correct me if I'm wrong. When you are actually doing the marathon, you cannot be listening to anything.
So they don't allow over-the-ear headphones, but I have bone induction headphones that I have on. So they allow, because you can hear the outside world.
Freaking wise.
Yeah. How about that?
Okay.
All right. We'll go back to rock and roll. Let's start with this. With the new record, before we get into it, I know your son's on it, but the thing that I like is he has his own band called Falset, and I just listened to, which I really enjoyed. I'd like to know how this came about. Your cover of Motley's Kickstart My Heart with him. Whose idea was that? How did that come about? I know it came out in 2021, but still, I just heard it for the first time while I was doing prep for you. So I'd like to know a little bit about that.
Okay. So it was actually Falset's idea, and they were inspired to do it because way back in the 80s, 1986, I was in a band called Shock Candy. And we used to cover some Motley Crue, Judas Priest, Zeppelin, and so on and so forth. But we did a lot of Motley Crue. Okay. And so my son was aware of this. He said, and they were like, you know what? We got to do a cover. And, you know, I guess it was the guitar player, Zach. And he goes, hey, we should do Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. And he goes, you know, my dad used to be in a cover band that he used to do. And they go, get the hell out. He says, I'll ask my dad if he'll sing on the track. That's how it came about. We did that. Now, I got some news for you. So did you know that Mick Mars responded to this? And he said, he said, amazing freaking version of Kickstart My Heart.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. I want to say this, and please don't take offense. I feel like I could be honest with you.
Yeah.
Shock Candy's real hacky 80s name, dude.
Hey, it was the 80s. Okay,
I'll go the other way.
Okay, Ralph, it made total sense back then. If I did that today, I'd be crucified.
James, great, it's a great title.
100%. What's that, James?
It's a great title, and it's good because you clearly got it from Rock Candy, which is a great song. And Ralph, you need to get a job, okay, buddy? Do a full marathon before you criticize that man's wonderful band name.
Out there, sir. Listen, okay, I like James. I like
God
James.
Damn right, James.
Yeah, I'm right.
Okay. It's just such an 80s fucking name, Shock Candy. I love it, though. I love it.
Like, listen, I'm going to the candy store and getting you some. Okay?
Some Shock Candy.
There's lots of hair. That's all I can tell you.
I'm sure. By the way, so I think both The Last Dream Theater and Beautiful Shades of Gray recorded during the lockdown. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
So that, I know that you said somewhere it helped you keep sane, right? Doing that.
Absolutely.
Time, right?
It was therapeutic. And I'm not joking around at this point. I usually do, but yes, it kept us focused. And here's the thing, you know, Ralph and James, is that when we were in Dream Theater and we were writing and stuff like that. And in fact, guys, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm up in Canada, eh? And and so I wasn't able to be flying back and forth into the States because of all the restrictions. I mean, that just goes with the territory. And anyway, so I actually was pumped in through the Dream Theater studio via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I had right here in my studio, I had them pumping out of the speakers, or I put them through my headphones. And this is how we wrote the album. And the other four guys were in the room together. And that's how we did it. And then with Beautiful Shade of Gray, it was, you know, trading files back and forth. Myself and Paul Logue wrote the album, The Scotsman. And that's how we did it here. And then we would, you know, record here, and he recorded in his studio. But definitely, you know, I remember talking to the guys in Dream Theater, and I said, you know what, guys, like, there's some kind of a human spirit realizing the fragility, right, of who and what we are. And, you know, we've just taken it granted. We took it all for granted. Like, this is where it's always going to be. No, look at that. Look what it did to people, you know, around the world. It was a mess economically, but it was also a mess emotionally, mentally, physically. Yeah. Look and at how also many people said I gained 40 pounds, you know?
I lost weight during the COVID, but I gained 70 prior. But the interesting thing is that I thought it was going to bring us all together in the fact that we were all fighting a common enemy. But boy, was I wrong on that one.
No.
Well, here's the other thing. Don't you think that it would have instilled in us a little bit more patience? But when I'm out and I'm doing stuff, still, people are... We're right back to where we were before, prior to the pandemic.
Worse.
People are getting impatient. You hear them in lines like, this is bullshit. And I'm thinking, look what you're able to do again, though. Yeah. Why are you complaining? You know,
I agree.
It's never enough.
Do you feel, and because I've listened to the album a couple times, and the way I like to listen to music generally is put it on in the background and just kind of have it in the background and see what sticks out at me. The album feels very much about being a human being and the experience of humanity. Do you think that COVID lockdown is where that all came from? Because that's what you were forced to be introspective.
Well, wait a minute. Which album are we talking about? View, or are we talking about Beautiful Shades of Gray? Beautiful Shade of Gray. That's exactly what I was touching. To be honest with you, Rob, I wasn't inspired by the pandemic. The first thing I said, even when I was writing the album and contributing lyrics for the Dream Theater album, John Bertrucci and I established right away, I'm not writing about the pandemic. And he goes, neither am I.
Well, you're not in Wi-Fi, but get inspired by it. You still can't get help, but be affected by it.
You do. Somehow, subconsciously, I'm sure that it bled into us. Right. But even with Beautiful Shade of Gray, I just wanted to talk about, you know, how we're affected from the time that we're born until who and what we are as human beings. It's what creates all our environments is what creates who you guys are right now in front of me and how you react and what you gravitate towards, how you interpret things. And, you know, like the last song on the album, Am I Right, Am I Wrong, is actually about a sociopath, believe it or not. And it's about a guy that was affected.
Isn't that Devil and Drag, or am I wrong?
Well, Devil and Drag is about a narcissistic freaking goon that goes kaboom.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Anyways, So I'm touching upon, and that's why, hence the title, Beautiful Shade of Gray, because we are, as a species, absolutely brilliant and beautiful and complex in that, but there is a undertone, and the undertone is sadness. And what I was alluding to is that the sadness that we carry around is our mortality, is that this isn't something that is infinite. This is something that's finite. And I just think that if you talk to enough people, and as you get older, you realize that everybody wants to get into a philosophical conversation because we want more answers. What the hell's going on here, and where's going? Because no one can give you the definitive answer. But here we go. We're going off the tracks again. And it's like, is this rock and roll?
That's fine. I'm going to ask you, by the way, this is going to be perhaps the most important question anyone has ever asked you in the history.
No, I'm not.
it's really important.
You heard it here first.
Look at
here it is. When putting out this new album, Beautiful Shade of Gray, why the European spelling and not the American spelling of gray?
Because that was the original spelling of the word.
Okay, fair enough. I like that. Did you actually put some thought into it? Is that what happened?
I just said, hey, it should be what it originally was, and it was G-R-E-Y.
Okay, you know? Americans screwed it up, right? Is it North America? Like, how does it spell in Canada?
Hey, man, no, we spell G-R-A-Y here up in Canada. You know,
okay.
But you know what? We don't spell the same as color. You guys spell it C-O-L-O-R. We spell it C-O-L-O-U-R.
I do that to honor Vernon Reed and Corey Glover every time I spell it.
There
That's
you go.
Why I do it that way. That's
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And do you enunciate aluminum like we do, or do you say like the Brits? I always forget.
No. Aluminum.
You don't say aluminium?
No.
I'll tell you.
Too difficult.
First time I met a British girl, and she said aluminium. I got fucking.
I thought
she was talking about our appetizers.
I thought she was having a stroke.
Oh, that was the hottest thing anyone's ever said to me. I love it.
I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I like that there's a behind the scenes doc that came out about the making of Beautiful Shades of Gray. And it does it. The question I have to ask is, so like, I've been a fan of obviously of you and the band of Dream Theater, which you called, I think the. There was a name you gave the band, but like that's like your golden goose. That's the album. I forgot what you called it. That's like your moneymaker, obviously. And this
it is.
You know,
it is. It's our priority. It's our breadwinner.
Obviously. Yep. And one of the things that Dream Theater is known for is these, crazy long songs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the odd timings, you know, progressive rock, whatever you want to call it, right? I sometimes would think, I remember one time I asked the guys, like, look, what is the album? Was it Six Degrees, where there was like a song that the whole side of the album was one song, right? Was that yep. record? I think I was You're like, right. and I was wondering, do you guys just see, let's see how long we can make a fucking song and get people to listen to it. But the question I ask you is, now that you're writing more traditional 4-4 rhythm songs, is it harder to get into that mindset of, hey, this is going to be a song? This is going to be a 4 to 5 minute actual song versus we're going to go off the rails with crazy timings and blah, blah, blah with Dream Theater?
No, I think that we easily, in the Dream Theater headset, I think we easily we acclimate to whatever we want to put up in front of us. And if we're all agreed upon that, you know, this is the direction that we want to go musically, then we wrap our heads around it. I mean, we're all inspired by a lot of similar bands. Yeah. Progressive bands, of course, you know, but we all have appreciation for, you know, a band like U2 or, you know, a band like me personally. I don't want to speak on behalf of the other guys, but they do. I know that they do have an appreciation for that. I mean, I freaking love One Republic. I think Ryan Tedder and his bandmates are absolutely incredibly talented. So is Coldplay. I mean, listen to those. You know, I've always said to people, they go, yeah, but, you know, it's just straightforward. Freaking, I go, write one of those songs. Go ahead.
Write
a simple, what you refer to as a simple song, because the genius is that it still has to translate.
Right.
You know,
agreed.
You can write a simple song, and a lot of people do, and I've heard them, and they play it for me, and I'm like, okay, all right, I got to get going. Yeah. Get
and back. I even heard you know, other influences of yours. If you go back to your Shock Candy days, there's a lot of other.
Okay, things. Ralph. Okay, enough of that shit. Okay? I'm really sad that you are like poking fun at my freaking bed. You didn't even hear it. You didn't even hear that bed.
No, I mean, in the glorious Shock Candy days, I got your back, James.
Do you have any? Is any of that James. Floating around?
I'm not giving it to you.
Oh, God
damn it. I can guarantee you that.
James, you have merch? I will wear a Shock Candy shirt on stage the minute I get it.
Hey, I have a picture. You want me to go get a picture?
Oh, guys? Could you please?
Shock Candy?
You want to see it?
Yes, please. We will wait.
Wait, hang on one
we
second.
We will wait. Go get a Shock Candy
hang
picture.
Hang on. I got to take the train to the other side of my house.
All right, go ahead. Please. I got to see a Shock Candy picture.
This guy's the best.
He's great.
Canadians. Yeah, yeah. Best senses of humor.
I'm trying to see that. Is that art? That's art. That's not a window to his left, right?
No,
that's
art. Sorry. I mean, he's this dude, everything about him is the dopest thing in the world.
He's a cool dude. All right, here he comes. He's got it framed and everything.
Everything. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hang on. Okay. So let me know when it's in focus. Okay. I should be able to see it.
Let's see. Holy shit. Look at that.
I love it.
Wow, you
I love everything
like,
about this.
You look like Motley Crue. Yeah, look like that. So you're a
you
Motley Crue.
You see me
Crue.
With the scarves around my...
Yeah, red hot Motley Crue plus. That is hilarious. That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
Wow. So you were a
I guess
Motley...
my career is over.
Were you a Motley cover band?
Maybe it's just beginning. It's just beginning.
Shit.
Was it just Motley? You would do just Motley
no,
covers?
No, no, no. No, we were doing other...
Oh, other that was bands. A plus. It said Motley Crue plus. I guess Motley Crue plus.
Others. Yeah.
All right. So you're a few years older than me. So in whatever you're 86. So that means you were about 20. Is that about right around that time?
19? 23.
That's wild. Wow. And this is in Canada. You were doing that?
Only in Canada. And we had pea meal bacon on our rider every day.
All right. Before we go any further, if you are a responsible adult over the age of 21 and living in the states where Delta 8 is legal, and you want to get really, really high, really super duper legally high, we talk about it all the time. It is YoDelta.com. You could stock up a high quality lab tested Delta 8. I'll make it feel like the YoDelta Empire is here. I'll just go, yays. Close enough, I guess. I don't know. They have vapes. They have gummies. If you're over 21, and in the majority of the states where all of this is legal, it's time to stock up on Delta 8. It's found in hemp. It's legally shipped, and it can get you really high. What more do you need to know for all your getting stoned for the summer needs? Pack up and fill up on your gummies and vapes, all at YoDelta.com. Of course, these products should be taken responsibly, but if you head over to YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the entire GAS Digital Network, you could use the promo code GAS, G-A-S, the promo code GAS, and you'll get 25% off the entire order. Once again, the promo code is GAS. You get 25% off. It's YoDelta.com, home of Delta 8 that will get you super fucking high. Eyes, get back into it. Yeah. I read somewhere that you're very against, what is that called, CanCon labeling and stuff like that?
Holy because don't even get me freaking going. Do you want me to talk about CanCon? Okay.
Well, first of all, briefly, let's explain to American people what that actually means. A lot of people don't
know. It means
know
Canadian content. Canadian content. Okay. So I just had this topic with an interview I did last week. So I'm going to edit it. Okay. Because I know you guys got better things to do than to listen about CanCon.
But yeah, anyways, I'd rather listen to Shaw Candy. Oh,
so, CanCon is what supports the Canadian artists, right? So if you're a Canadian artist, they'll put the little maple leaf sticker on your album if you still buy into physical product. And then you also get first dibs at radio airplay, okay? Right. And I think it's like they have to play 30% of Canadian content every hour on the hour on radio. Okay, mm-hmm. On national radio. And so here's me. I released a solo album back in 2004 called Elements of Persuasion. I produced it. I wrote on it. I was an artist on it. And I'm a Canadian citizen. You need 3 out of 5 credentials to fall under the umbrella of CanCon. You know what they told me? Nope.
That's crazy.
And I said, you want to explain it? They never did. And here's the thing. I believe that CanCon promotes mediocrity. And I'm saying that because, listen, your stuff should only be played based on its quality. If it's great, play it. If it's not, don't. And that's it. That's simple. Well, music's good or music's bad. And they wouldn't put me under that. And I said, and you know, and it wasn't only me freaking out. The other guys in the band, even though I had 2 Americans, Matt Guillory, who wrote all the stuff with me, mm-hmm. and brilliant musician. And then I had Brian Beller on bass. And then I had Marcos Foley, an Italian. I had 3 Americans. And then I had Mike Mangini playing drums, who's now Dream Theater. Right. So I said to them, I just said, you know what? This makes no sense. I'm sorry, but I think that you guys should be ashamed. And to be honest with you, I want nothing to do with it because if anything, I'm advocating CanCon and I don't. And you know who else doesn't? Brian Adams came right out and said, this is bullshit.
Bullshit. By the way, I'm going to play a devil's advocate for a moment, which is I understand the initial inception of it because Canadians felt that they were getting their culture erased by America because everybody just wanted American stuff. But I think now it's gone too far. And I do agree with you. Again, by the way, every part of this episode so far, it's talking about everything but really just rock and roll and music, but I do dig it.
Well, I think that indirectly we're touching on what makes us rock and roll.
Right. But it is wild because I do understand, like when I had my radio show, it was called The Tour Bus. We were on all over the country. We only were allowed to be played in certain Canadian cities that weren't like respecting CanCon. I don't know how we got away with that, but it was being played in certain areas because you have to play a certain amount of Canadian rock artists. I was like, we can't just play old Rush. There's not a lot of 80s. Weren't a lot of big, like Rush, Triumph, a few others, you know, there wasn't too many that had mainstream hits back then. So now it just became a crazy thing. And I understand the concept of it, but I just think it's not being implemented effectively. Is that a fair
way
to put
it? You were in a band in Canada?
but my radio show was on in Canada.
Ah.
Yeah. So because we were playing music on the radio in Canada, they wanted a certain percentage, 30% of the music had to be Canadian artists. But I was like, we're not going to do that just to get on in Canada.
There you go.
So see, I know a little bit about it, James. See that, James?
And you know what? Like, I mean, hey, like Canadian artists that are probably going to hear this and go, hey, James, like, well, thanks a lot for the support. Hey, man, you know, hey, I'm not attacking a fellow musician or a fellow band. Right. Absolutely. This has nothing to do with that. It's what this thing supports. And it's wrong right from the beginning. And what you just said, Ralph, hey, makes a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree with everything that you said, but it's a much bigger picture in the sense that what are we doing? We're saying now it's based on borders, and music is universal. Music does not have borders. It never should, and I hope never does. But unfortunately, with something like this, that's exactly what you're creating.
Yeah. All right, so now we'll move to a little more about the new band, the new album. So from what I understand, Dream Theater, I don't know if you did a couple of tours with Eden's Curse. How did you meet Paul?
Yeah. Okay. So back in 2010, they contacted Paul Logan, Michael Eden, who was the singer at the time, contacted my management. They got through to me and they asked if I would sing on a, a song called No Holy Man, and they actually released an animated version of that song video wise. So you guys can go check that out at some point. It's called No Holy Man. And then I got talking to Paul and I said, you know, who's your main writer in your band? And he said, I am. And he plays bass and that stuff and guitar. And I said, I really like your style because you come from an era that I absolutely adored and was very influential for me and, you know, my formative years. And I said, it's 70s, you know, because some of my favorite bands being Queen and Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple and
Hacks, all of them Hacks.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, it's a lot like Shock Candy.
They are no Shock Candy. I will not let anyone besmirch the great name of goddamn Shock Candy, baby.
That's it. I like that word too, besmirch.
Okay. It's the only one I know. So anyway. The only good word I know with a Nevada education.
Hey, it's working today. And the thing is that, so Paul said to me at one point, and he goes, like, you know, I've been a huge fan of your voice since 92 when Images and Words came out. And I said, well, at some point when we find a window of opportunity, why don't we write an album together? Because I could see us putting together some killer, killer songs. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, here comes the pandemic. I bump into him after Dream Theater played our last show in Glasgow, February 23rd, 2020.
That's what it was. There. You read it. You bumped into him in an airport, right?
That's right. Serendipitously. And I said to him, I said, you know, you hear about this freaking ugly head virus that's rearing I said all that wrong. It's rearing its ugly head. And he said, yep. And I said, well, if that happens, how about we take advantage of the time and we actually write an album? He says, absolutely. And I said, well, I'm going to let you know. I want to write an acoustically based album. And then we decided after we wrote two songs, we can't be strumming a guitar and just having vocals because we'll be around a campfire roasting marshmallows. So we better freaking move on and bring in the whole ensemble. And that's how we got the other guys in the band.
That's
and then
cool.
it became what it became. But I said, right, first and foremost, let's think Zeppelin, you know. And I said, because they're classic and they're brilliant and their music's timeless. And I said, so let's do a huge nod to that time musically, but keeping it contemporary.
And so much so that you actually threw on a Zeppelin cover on the record, Ramble On the record, which is a really, really
good
cover.
Guys, my original choice was That's the Way. That's the way, that's the way it ought to be. Don't you know that? That was my original song. And then Paul came back to me and he says, what the hell are you doing, man? I said, well, what the hell are you saying, man? And he said, I read an article where you said one of your favorite songs by Zeppelin, Zeppelin 3, which is a brilliant freaking album, was Ramble On. And I said, it is. It is one of my favorite songs. He says, why aren't we going to cover that? And let's do it. Bang on and go for it. And I said, fair enough. We can maybe save That's Away for another day.
Right. There you go. Another day. I rhymes. Get it. A Dream Theater reference right there.
Here you
another
go.
Another day. Remember, I think it's the only Dream Theater song with a sax in it. Am I right about that? I don't know if I am.
You are absolutely right.
Am I absolutely right?
Right all along.
Yep.
No. That's cool.
Yeah.
And your son is playing drums on this and the keyboard player from Eden's Curses as well. And you've kind of assembled this new band. The question comes with Dream Theater being the animal that it is, the train that it is constantly moving. As this album started, because it's getting great reviews, everyone seems to love it. It has a lot of plays on the old Spotify's. How do you figure out what you're going to do? Like, how do I go out and do this and support this? I read somewhere, which sounds fucking amazing to me, that you might be doing a small tour of cathedrals and castles doing acoustic.
You're right, Ralph.
That's cool as shit. Is that going to happen?
Tomorrow, starting that tour.
I want to open up for you.
Did I make it up or is that right? Did I hear that?
You are spot on. So the idea is that I've said to Dream Theater or to management and, you know, our agents, I said, hey, guys, you know, I need to know Dream Theater's schedule because promoters are already knocking at my door. And then they're asking if I can go out and play this live because this begs to be played live and all the fans are saying it. And, you know, and I completely agree. The band wants to do it. So we're looking at what the promoter said, you know, May 2023 would be exceptional timing because there's still that COVID freaking hangover, right? For a lot of promoters, and a lot of promoters lost their shirt, and I feel really bad for them because of this bullshit.
And a lot of them are gun shy too. A lot of them are gun shy to start planning.
And you are absolutely right. A lot of them are so gun shy. They're like, no, I don't even want to take that risk. I'm going to wait until we are in calm waters. So they said to me, you know, can we shoot for next May? So I'm just waiting to hear back from management and agents because, you know, we book far in advance with Dream Theater. And as soon as I can get that window, and, you know, I want to do about 2 or 3 weeks over select gigs like UK and some markets in the Europe. And then I'd love to bring it over to North America and do the same thing, maybe 3 weeks of select dates. And I think it'd be killer because
in unique venues like cathedrals and little.
And that's what they said. So the promoters over in Europe are like, you know, here, this is what we want to do. We want to put you in cathedrals and small castles and stuff like that, and churches and go on and so forth. And they said, you know, maybe 500 to 1,000 people a night, make it exclusive. And I think it'll be beautiful. It'll be freaking absolutely incredible. I said, I'm on full. Let's just go for it. That sounds terrific to me.
James Madden, not James LaBrie. James Madden, I have an idea because I know you're a runner also, right? And I just mentioned at the top of the show, I want to do 4 half marathons around the world. Imagine we fly somewhere, do a half marathon, and then go see James at a fucking cathedral somewhere that night. How cool would that be?
I'm not doing the half marathon with you because I'd be sleeping on stage.
Fair enough.
What though? Hey, Ralph, if you're coming to Toronto, I'll run beside you for the first 3 miles and I'll just talk your ear off.
That's what we'll do. The first 3 miles. I'll go out the other 6. And on the way back, you could do the last mile with me. We'll do it that way.
Let's do that. Let's film it.
I'm going to Toronto in the fall, to be honest.
We don't have all the time.
Are we going
to
run? Are we going to run or are we just going to go to a bar and drink?
Maybe why not do both
and make fun of me? There's one, by the way, that's go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying to James, I say we go to the bar first, drink, and then try and run.
Yeah, and I'm gonna eat like 8. The chocolate bars I love from there. I'm gonna eat 8 coffee crisps.
We can have shepherd's pie.
There's one called the Rock and Roll Half in Vegas where you do a beer every mile, which is crazy.
That doesn't sound like my crazy hometown.
Okay, so this is what I'd do. I'd stop at the 3/4 mile mark.
That's fair enough.
I just say, no, done.
I want to hit a couple other questions. I know we don't have all the time in the world with you. I have to ask this. You know, I've known Portnoy for years. I know it's a little bit of an older story now.
Yep.
You guys didn't talk for, I think, over a decade. I could be wrong. He was one point one of your closest friends. Mm-hmm. You finally broke bread in New York City, I think now about 2-3 months ago. I could be wrong on the timing on that. I don't know how long ago it was.
March.
But I want to know, who was the one that said, let's, you know, broke bread? Who's the one to make the first step to try and get back together? And B, being that we're all in our late 50s now, do you look at those?
You're in your early 50s, Ralph.
In our 50s.
James, it's a conversion rate. Canada and the U.S. It's a different conversion rate.
It's the metric system.
And
do
I
you look
that.
At that time as like, because I try to not have any negative, no one's not a friend anymore, at least a resolved issue, to lose a decade and change with someone that at one point was one of your best, regardless of what it was. So A, who was the person to make that first step? And B, how do you look back on that now?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, listen, I agree with you, Ralph, but I think what happens is that people, when we're younger and that, there's a sense of pride and like, no, I'm right. You're wrong. No. Mm-hmm. You know, and vice versa. And it's really unfortunate because no, we shouldn't, you know, there's enough negativity in the world. And it was really unfortunate what happened to Mike and I. We just freaking grew apart and there's, you know, various reasons for it. And so what happened was that we were in New York City and we were playing the Beacon and my manager said, hey, Mike's going to be at the show tonight and he wants to come backstage and make amends. And this is like 3 hours before the show, something like that. And I'm like trying to wrap my head around going out and performing. Right. And you know what that's like an artist has to get in the game, right?
Right.
And so I text John Petrucci. John Petrucci will tell you this is true. And I text John Petrucci and I said, John, really? What the fuck is up? And John came down to my room. Okay, I'm gonna go as quick as I can with this because I know you guys don't have all the time in the world either. So John came down to my room and he said, listen, Mike asked me actually as far back as when we were playing Toronto a few nights ago that he wanted to come to the show and he wanted to make amends and he thought, you know, I'll be okay with that. And I said, oh, OK, well, thank you for not telling me that in Toronto, because that would have messed with my head, too, in the hometown show. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I called my wife and I said, here's the deal. Mike's going to be at the show tonight. He wants to come back and he wants to talk to me. My wife said to me, enough is enough. Let this fucking monkey off your back. And Mike is right. You know, talk with him, meet with him and move on, man.
Right.
What are you going to do? You're going to carry this to your grave? And I said, what's that? Where's Craven? What's death? What are you talking about? Anyway, so I said, I said, okay. And I went for a walk and I put baseball cap on, frickin' sunglasses, and pulled a hoodie over my head. So I was incognito. And I went for a walk for about a half an hour around New York City. And then I came back and I said, yep. And I text John and I said, tell Mike, let's meet after the show. And then while I was on the show, I said, hey, we have a good friend of ours out front right tonight. And there's Mike Portnoy, and then you know what? And it felt great. Listen, we talked for about 10 minutes. We said what had to be said.
Or wow. Had it. Either
and
one's fine.
Had it to be shitty. And then we, freaking that's it. We got up. We hugged one another. Hey, love you. And you know what? We keep in touch. We text one another and, you know, whatever. And it's all good. And I'm glad we did it. It was cathartic. And, you know, we've moved on and now we're talking and it felt great because, yeah, like you said at the beginning of this, you know, Mike and I, during the Images and Words tour and part of the Awake tour, we're best of friends.
Right. You were like, you know, super close friends. That's pretty well. Yeah. So I try, not that I'm trying to say whatever I say is right. I try not to have any unresolved conflict and just try to, even if you don't stay friends, you just, mm-hmm. you know, you put it behind you. You don't need that.
Well, that's
shit
an admirable quality, Ralph. Seriously. I'm not joking around.
It really is one of my few admirable qualities. I don't have too
well,
many.
Well, see, and with me, and it kind of runs in my family, we kind of, the LaBrie's kind of notorious for holding a grudge. And I don't know where the hell that freaking shit comes from. Maybe James, because I'm French and Irish. I don't
Mattern,
know.
James Mattern, do you hold grudges?
Yeah, I'm pretty chill, but there's like 7 people. I kind of joke that I'm like Arya Stark, which I know you won't get, Ralph, in Game of Thrones. When I go to bed, there's like 7 people on my list that I just fucking say. Once you make my list, it's hard to get off.
I'm silly, though, at this time. And
see,
by the way,
because he has the name James.
To go back.
Oh, baby, we're spiteful creatures.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
To go back to Beautiful Shades of Grey, Devil in Drag opens and closes the record with a more, like I'd say, in line with the record version than a more full-on electric version at the end of the record.
Yep.
That idea, I imagine, is to let people know, well, this is what it's going to sound like if you come see us full band live. Was that the plan behind that one?
No, it was actually that this is what we could be doing on the next album.
Oh, kind
of gave
cool.
you a precursor of where this band could sound if we went full on electric.
Full on. All right,
now, that being said, I believe don't fix something unless it's broken and it ain't broken. So we're already writing. We're already working on material right now as we speak and for the next album. And We're already having those conversations. Hey, you know, we could go full electric and just reckon.
I mean, I wouldn't do it, by the way. I like the vibe, so I wouldn't do it. But what do I know? But I wouldn't do it. I like
no,
the vibe.
And I agree with you, Ralph, because I said the only thing is like when we went into this and we wrote the album that we wrote, it wasn't with any preconception of, oh, but you know, what are they going to think? And I said, listen, we were taking a big risk doing an album like this. Don't you guys agree? But I think what it did is it's there's evident maturation because it shows you that you're willing. And I think music is all about that. You know, just keep continuing to grow and evolve as a musician, as an artist. And the way you do that is you push the envelope and you take risks.
Right,
because to play it safe, then it becomes formulated and it's regurgitated shite. That's what it becomes.
That's it.
I agree with all of that.
I just went really, German there.
If you really want to be baller, the next album you should call Beautiful Shades of Gray and spell it G-R-A-Y and freak everyone out.
Oh, there you go. Okay. See?
We're going to do the first of there, but last couple of questions and then we'll wrap up here. This one I find fascinating. I mean, granted, it's a 20-year-old story at this point almost, but you were told at one point from food poisoning that you may never sing again.
Yeah.
And then now, obviously, not only singing again, but singing phenomenally well for 2 decades almost. What did you do personally that make you get better? Was it something? Did you follow doctor's advice? Did you go look for Eastern philosophies? What did you do when they told you that to get yourself in the headspace to heal?
I went into a very, very dark space.
I would imagine.
I did, man. I fucking went really into a really dark headspace, man. And my wife, God, I fucking love her. She had to deal with it. And then I had 2 small kids and, you know, hey, you know, she said, no, you've always been a great father and husband. But she said, yeah, there were moments where I was like, I think he's crazy. But anyways, so I was December 30th, 1994. It's actually 27 years ago that shit happened. You believe it? Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
And here's the thing, like prior to that, I was winning freaking vocal awards around the world. I was like, who is this fucking madman singer? And that happened. So what happened? My wife and I were down in Cuba. I suffered food poisoning. I ruptured my vocal cords and I bled onto them. That's how serious it was. So I went and saw 2 ENTs, ears, nose and throat specialists. And they basically both said the same thing, putting the scope down, looking at my vocals. And what both of them said is at this point, you should be taking 6 months rest, not talking, not doing anything. And then slowly we'll come back to it and then build the voice back up again. And I said, that is impossible because in 2 weeks I am going to be in Tokyo singing.
Right.
And they said, that's insane. So I just went about, I started studying more on the voice because my voice became very fragile. Obviously I lost a bit of my range and I was living in fucking misery. And I just kept working on it, slowly rebuilding it with seeing some vocal coaches and eating as healthy as I possibly could. And I eventually brought it back online, but it took a hell of a long time. Man.
I give you credit, man. It's a great story that you brought it back because you hear people that get that information and they
done.
Do give up. So the fact that you figured it out.
Well, Ralph, when it initially happened, I had no voice for 4 days.
Oh, my God.
And I'm looking at my wife and she knew I was freaking. Like if I had been a guitar player, would have been, like, let's just go. But the fact that I was who I was and I was a singer.
Not only a singer, but a singer like, so known for his voice. It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. It was a nightmare.
It's really a good testament to who you are that you brought that back. So I give you credit for that. It really is impressive. So we got to do the first now, James, and then wrap it up. James, I've never seen such a bewildered look on your face. You look like you're going to shit yourself.
Not me.
Yeah, James Mattern. Sorry, not James.
Oh, LeBrie. Thank you. Holy shit. James. I was saying, what the hell's
not
going
James,
on?
Not
here?
James LeBrie. James Mattern. Sorry, James.
I'm just amazed. I just heard the man say like blood and the vocals and shit. It freaked me out, man.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You look like you were
I've been having vocal issues of late as well. So it scared the shit out of me.
All right. So we got to do the first. So we're going to wrap this up.
Hey, James, like seriously, sorry, Ralph. I didn't mean to cut you off my marathon friend. But hey, you know,
half marathon.
Half marathon. Hey, that's still impressive. I can't do 13 miles. And most people can't. So I think that's freaking incredible that you're doing that. But James, man, go get yourself looked at. Don't let that go unchecked. You got to go see an ears, nose, and throat specialist because you don't want it to become polyps or nodes.
Yeah.
Because nodes, you're going to have to get an operation to get that fixed. And here's knock on wood, guys. Throughout all that bullshit, I never had polyps and I never had fucking nodes. I don't know how the hell I got away from that.
I had a lot of throat issues over the years. One thing it surprisingly does good for you, you may agree or disagree, Mr. Labrie, humming and making like noises in your throat is great for your vocal cords. If you don't,
but there's also this thing called Doc Vox that Jamie Vendera turned me on to. And it's this little bottle and you put a little bit of water into it. I go to number five. You can go higher if you want. I go to number five and you actually.
Yeah, that's very good.
Into it. It bubbles. Yeah. And it massages and brings your vocal cords back online. Now, I've been told that people have eliminated polyps from doing that. Not nodes, but polyps.
It's amazing.
Which is something maybe you should consider doing, James. It's called Doc Vox. Go on jamievendera.com and you will find it.
Doc Vox. I was told I don't have nodes, not because I went to ear, nose, and throat. One of the servers at the Comedy Cellar, I told her about it. She's a singer. She goes, come here. She was the throat whisperer. Yeah. She put her hand there. She goes, shh, shh, shh.
That's where you want to get your that's where you want to get your diagnosis from, a waitress at a bar.
First of all, they're called servers. Yeah, James, Ralph, it's 2022.
You're in good hand.
Yes. And then I went back and yelled at the audience. It was terrific.
You got to do this. The name of the show is the SDR Show, the Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We end the show every single time by asking what we like to call the first, your first experience with sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
The first time. Ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
We start with rock and roll. We mean the first concert you went to. Ideally, it's not something that your parents drove you to, and ideally not something that some local Canadian band we never heard of. I know your dad and your brothers were singers, so maybe they dragged you somewhere, but somewhere that you said, I want to go to this show. Where'd you go?
Well, wait a minute. I should mention the first concert that my parents brought me to. Okay. Liberace.
Wow. Liberace, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Liberace.
That's pretty dope. That's kind of metal, to be honest, me, that's metal shit.
Liberace with Rene Simard backing him up. You guys don't know who that is, right? Quebec singer, and he was spotted in a church singing.
Did you already? How old were you when you went to see Liberace? How old were you?
13.
So did you know already at that point that you wanted to be a singer?
Oh, frickin' man. Hey, I started singing when I was 5. I played drums from the time I was 5 until I was 17.
Okay, so then already you were on board.
So the first concert that I went to that I wanted to go see was Triumph.
Oh, that fits. So
fitting. Because they're a Canadian band. And then followed that shortly with Rush. And that was like, to me, when I saw Rush, I was just like, because that was right up my alley. You know, Farewell to Kings, one of the greatest freaking albums. But 2112, Hemispheres, come on.
By the way,
let's keep going here.
Way to play the Canadian type to go see Triumph and fucking Rush as your first two concerts. Like, come on.
But it was close. And it was, and I was listening to those guys, you know.
I love Triumph.
Rick Emmett, I actually sang on his last solo album. I don't know if you guys know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I did a couple songs with him. Alex Lifeson played guitar on one of them. It's called Resolution 9, Rick Emmett. And
didn't you sing on a Rush Triumph, Rush tribute?
Yeah,
record?
Rush tribute. Yeah,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Okay, so
I did a couple of Rush tributes.
James just got us
the first one I did. We're getting
weird feedback for some reason. I don't know why that was. Go ahead, Matter.
Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say that your last answer, Triumph, then Rush, has just got us on Canadian radio. So now we can get syndicated. So forget podcasts. Well, we're back to the old way.
Yeah, now we can get on CanCon. The first drug you ever did, I know you're not a big drug guy, but the first drug you ever did, ideally after weed, unless weed's the worst drug or not your first drug.
Yeah, it was a glue head.
What is that? Is it huffing glue?
Sniffing glue.
Really?
No.
Oh, fuck. That would have been so cool.
There's no freaking way. Okay. No. No, man. I mean, I smoked pot when I was like, probably started when I was like grade 8, grade 9. Okay. So 13, 14 years old. No, man. Hey, listen, I never did freaking coke. I didn't do any of that shit. I had friends of mine doing coke that went down to ground zero.
So you never did anything else?
A good friend of mine that did heroin. No, fuck. I didn't do that crap, man. I drank. Mm-hmm. I drank a lot.
When you were doing when you were
drink
pot,
alone.
When you were smoking pot in grade 8, as the Canadians call it, and not 8th grade, as the Americans call it, and you were 13, was it at a Liberace concert? Because that would be cool.
Makes hey, it even
Mom,
more metal.
Pass that joint back, would you? Yeah, right.
All right, so
my
now,
mom would freaking. My mom would put me in a straitjacket. They were now, very religious.
I know you've been married for 33 years. You met your wife in high school.
Yes.
So the last question, it might be her. The first time you had sex, was it with your wife?
No, I'm still a virgin.
Oh, that makes
sense. That's all donor, my kid.
It's all. That's fair enough.
Okay, wait a minute. First time I had. I don't know. I think 15.
Was it with her or somebody else?
I can't answer that.
All right, fair enough. You don't have to answer it.
You know what that answer is? Yeah.
Yeah. That's called answering.
You guys just got me in shit today.
I used to play poker. I can read shit.
Thanks a lot, guys. I thought you were my friends.
All right, so now the new album, which is out now, Beautiful Shades of Grey, G-R-E-Y, for those of you that want to spell it correctly. Follow jameslabrie.dt on Instagram, even though there's no blue check there.
Well, there's jameslabrie.com too, a brand new website.
And then the website,
jameslabrie.com.
But it's not up yet. It just says to put an email in because not up yet. I looked.
What's not up?
The website's up, but it's not launched yet. And neither is your ding dong.
Go back to sex tricks.
I think that was a ding dong reference, James Mattern.
It's fun. There's never enough on the show. All my friends ask me all the time, why aren't there more ding dong references on this show? And I go, give it time, baby.
Hey, especially, hey, guys, I just want to mention this. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I love that title. You know what it reminds me of? It's somewhat reminiscent of Shock Candy.
Shock Candy. Of course. The name of the episode.
You like that?
I definitely do.
How do you feel now, Ralph?
I love it.
How do you feel now?
How do you like those apples, Ralph?
Oh, yeah. Tip
and then
cat.
Also the Grammy-winning record of you from the top of the world from his side gig, Dream Theater, or those guys. You know, that's out as well.
Yeah, I'm going to start listening to those guys after we talk here.
Is there anything else you want to plug before we go around and do our plugs?
I just want to plug that I freaking love you guys. I think you guys have a great show. And you know what? I love doing interviews like this because this is real. It's very personable. And this is how we get to know people. And I just had a great time with you guys. So thank you. And thank you for the support and the promotion and all that goes along with it.
Thank you so much. It's very nice.
And let's get together, guys. We can go out. We can do drugs. We can do some booze and we can do some rock and rolling. And then we can have some women.
And then we can all have sex. I really legit thought you were going to say then we could all have sex with each other. I was so on board.
Wait a minute. No. I'm going home at that point. In fact, I'll start jogging.
That's how we'll get you to
a marathon.
We're chasing you down the street. All right, James Mattern, your plug.
The James Mattern on Instagram and YouTube. Go to my YouTube page. Google The James Mattern and James Mattern, The Check Spot. I just released a special that has elements of a documentary. It's in black and white. It's like Jim Jarmusch directed it. It's a love letter to the worst part of the comedy show, The Check Spot, where no one pays attention and drunks are doing math. And I stay on stage and do a question and answer. It's the rawest, craziest comedy special of all time. The album version, one album of the year. You can stream that or buy it. But go watch this special because it means a lot to me.
I James Mattern, will.
The Check Special.
Do you have a blue check?
No, I have a white check. I have the opposite.
Okay. All right.
That means I'm
going to go check
certified.
That out, James. Awesome,
please do,
man.
My friend. It's
awesome.
Different and fun. And I was looking through it last night to make clips for the Instagram, and it's wild.
I still got to do my plugs real quick. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast, which is called Good Sugar on Health and Wellness, comes out every Monday. We're opening up our first location in New York City on 3rd Avenue, 69th Street. That'll be opening, I think, in July or let's say August to be safe. And then I'm hosting the Stone Temple Pilots King's X Adler Show in Long Island, July 30th. So come down, and it's going to be for charities for a good cause. So please come and join me there as well. We add a song every week to the playlist. The song that spoke to me the most, and feel free to say, I don't want to play that one, but I liked it. The one that I listened to a few times is Give and Take. I want to add that to the playlist. Is that cool with you?
Oh, man. No, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. We'll add that to the playlist. Thank you for being a part of the show, Mr. Labrie. And
thanks,
we'll see
Ralph.
You all
thanks,
next
James.
Time on the
man.
STR show. Peace.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Didn't jump. trudges, while those on high remain stripped of the rights we strive in vain. Who then can we turn to when they don't feel the same? You give them, you take.
Listening to the SDR Show.